Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up over the next half hour, communicating the church in the Middle East. We talk to one Catholic radio station in Lebanon as bishops from the region meet to find ways to respond to the challenges. And counting down to 2015, a Catholic aid agency warns the world not to give up on the Millennium Development Goals. Church communicate in a region where Christians are a minority, which is sometimes just tolerated? And where is there room for improvement? Well, the Pontifical Council for Social Communications is sponsoring a seminar for bishops from across the Middle East this week in Harissa, just north of Beirut, Lebanon, to seek some answers to those questions. President of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications, Archbishop Claudio Maria Celi, says the event, part of a series of seminars planned in cooperation with bishops' conferences around the world, is just one response to the new challenges created by new technologies.
We think that one of the more important challenges that the Church has to face in this moment is how to have a real, concrete dialogue with the digital culture, with our people today, especially the young generations, because these young generations are involved in the digital culture, is their way of living.
The April 17th through 20th seminar is bringing together some 50 bishops and 20 priests working in the field of communications in Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, the Holy Land, Jordan, and Iraq. It's being coordinated with the help of the Council of Catholic Patriarchs of the Middle East. While the four-day encounter, focusing on the theme Communications in the Middle East as an Instrument for Evangelization, Dialogue, and Peace, follows on the heels of the 2010 Synod for the Church in the Middle East. Pope Benedict XVI himself is due to pay a pastoral visit to Lebanon this September to present the post-synodal exhortation of that synod. While one seminar participant, Father Fadi Tabet, calls the communication seminar timely, especially given the recent conflicts in the Middle East and the Arab Spring. Director of the Voice of Charity Radio in Jouni, Lebanon, Father Fadi told me about some of the challenges facing the Church in the Middle East as it tries to transmit Christ's message of peace in a region in upheaval and not always tolerant of the Christian minority.
It's very important during these days to have this meeting in Lebanon, especially after the war in the Middle East, because we heard them saying all the time that the Christians in the Middle East are the minority. So it's very important to have this meeting here, first of all, to let the Catholic bishops talk about our problems here in the Middle East.
Father Fadi says he expects the Lebanon seminar to send a message of unity within the Catholic Church, comprised of many Eastern rites in addition to the Latin rite, something particularly urgent, he says, now, as Christians in the region look to the future with a certain degree of trepidation.
It's very important for the unity of the Church when we talk about the Roman Catholic Church and the Maronite Church and all the Catholic Church altogether. Having this meeting in Lebanon to tell the Christians, don't be worried. And I think it's very important to understand the role of the social communication and the role of the media to help to spread the word of God, to strengthen our Christian people who are living this fear, if you want, in the Middle East.
Father Fadi knows all about fear. He has been the target of death threats, a 2005 bomb attack on his radio station, and an Israeli airstrike on its antennae the following year. But these threats to Father Fadi's life and to his job have done little to deter him from continuing his mission of bringing the Christian voice to the Middle East. What the church there urgently needs now, he says, is to meet emerging challenges posed by traditional forms of communications and new media. Now, this conference comes just months ahead of Pope Benedict's visit to Beirut to present the apostolic exhortation at the end of the Synod for the Middle East, which we saw back in 2010. Do you see a link between this event?
Yeah, for sure. This is this link is very important because the visit of the Pope in Lebanon is going to be something very special for us. And especially for the Middle East, because as you know that the Christians who are in Lebanon, they give strength to all the Christians who are in the Middle East. For sure, there is a link between what's going to happen during these 3-4 days in Our Lady of Lebanon, Harissa, and the visit of the Pope.
Now, what are some of the issues that you see that will be of real interest in this conference?
I have the program in front of me, and the first conference, for example, we're talking about the initiative of the communication in the Middle East. Lebanon is going to talk, Jordan, Syria, Palestine, Iraq, Egypt, the whole Middle East. The second conference, the analysis of the element of the culture of the peace in the Middle East, Abuna Khalil Alwain is going to talk. The third conference, the communication and the context of the Synod des Evêques in the Middle East. So Monsignor Youssef Swaif is going to talk. So everything is about the Middle East. So this has a very important meaning for us, that the whole church think about the Middle East. The whole church think about the Christians who are in the Middle East, to give them strength and to tell them don't be fear, that the union of the church is going to be with you in our prayer, and we're going to think together, and I think it's very important. For sure, we're going to have 4 days, and the Voice of Charity, we're going to do our testimony in our the Voice of Charity, how we started, and during the war, even though the war was in Lebanon, the Voice of Charity was started spreading the word of God. And we're going to talk about what happened in 2005 after they bombed the Voice of Charity, and what happened in July after they bombed our link. And we're going to talk everything about the Voice of Charity. So everything is going to be about the Middle East.
And, of course, one of the highlights of this conference will be talking about how the church leaders in the Middle East can offer a voice for peace.
Yeah, for sure. And as you know, the mass media today is very important. It's the first power in everywhere. So that's why it's the role of the Christian mass media to teach and to spread the word of peace in the Middle East.
This is a very difficult time, particularly in Lebanon. You see all of the what is happening in Syria. Church leaders across the region have reacted differently to some of the crises affecting Christians in the Middle East. Do you think that the church needs a more unified voice or response to this violence we're seeing?
Yes. First of all, you know, it's not easy for the church leaders to have one idea, because one idea about the situation and about what happened in Syria, because the church leader who are in Egypt or Palestine or Iraq or other countries in the Middle East, everybody, they are the minority, and they have to take care about their people who are in their countries, especially the power is becoming a Muslim power. But When you talk about Lebanon, as you know, that the church, alhamdulillah, is very strong. Thank God the church is strong. But I think it's very important to have one idea about the church when we talk about the war in Syria or in Jordan or in Palestine or in every country in the Middle East.
What I'd like to also ask you is, what does the communications media of the church in the Middle East, what does it need today? What do radio stations, television, newspapers, internet sites, what is your real need today? Is it training? Is it communication, seminars, or finances? What is it exactly that you need?
All these. And the first of all, we need to understand today that the mass media is the first power in the whole world, because unfortunately we don't know how we talk to the youth. We don't know how we talk to the people who don't come to the church. Our way is traditional way. Our way usually when we talk about the people who are old, and we don't have the link, if you want, to talk to the youth, to talk to the people who don't come to the church or who don't care about the church. And this is a big and fragile thing. So I can see it in our church, in our mass media at the church. So that's why I think we have to think about these people. Because my mom and my dad, they come to the church and they listen to the voice of charity without anything, because God is very important for them.
Father Fadi points to the myriad of distractions that keep today's young people from giving more attention to their spiritual life. And high on the list are drugs, alcohol, TV, and the internet.
So what can I offer to them to give them the attraction to come to hear the voice of charity or to see the Christian TVs? This is, we have to talk about it, and this is very important to think about it. And I think we should have a big convention to think about the way how we can be attractive to the youth today.
The way the secular media portrays Christianity in the Middle East also poses a real challenge.
You know, in the Middle East, the other medias are very strong. They are very strong because they have money, and the money they come from Saudi Arabia, and they come from the Persian people, and from the Muslim. They have a lot of power. They have a lot of power, and for sure they are very strong. And if you talk about their technology, even their technology is becoming very, very high because they have a lot of money. But the problem when you talk about the church, when we talk about the mass media and the church, always we say we don't have money. We say we don't have money. We have to, you have to give us money to continue to spread the word of God. We talk to the people, give us money, and I think it's not going in this way. We're very fragile. We're very fragile if we don't have money, if we don't spread a lot of money, as I told you, to reach these people who are far away from the church. During the time of our fathers, the church was everything. But with the Pope John Paul II, he said, spread the word of God and talk about God all over, and with all the instruments. So the internet is very important. So, but we have to pay money. Everything. If we don't have money, we cannot be strong. We cannot reach the goal.
But ironically, Father Fadi notes that Christian-run secular media in the Middle East also poses a significant challenge to Christianity in the region.
You have the Muslim mass media, which is becoming very strong. You have the secular, who is becoming very strong. For example, let me tell you a little bit about the secular. The secular, they go even against the church. Against the church, even though the people who are responsible, they are Christian. For example, during Lent, during Lent, they don't have any special programs for the church in the secular TVs. But when you come to Ramadan, for example, they have a lot of programs. They put it in the secular TVs. They talk about Muslims. They talk about Ramadan. But they don't do the same thing with the church. Let's say we have a procession from Junyi to Harissa. Thousands of Christians, they go to this procession. They don't say anything about it. But on the other hand, you can see that a lot of people they talk about the Muslim things in the secular TVs, but they don't do the same thing about the Christian. On the other hand, when you talk about the Christian mass media, we are weak because we don't have money, and we have to tell the people, give us money to continue.
Father Fatty does his best to spread the good news through the Voice of Charity Radio, but he doesn't stop there as he seeks new ways to reach out to people young and old.
The Voice of Charity is not just radio. We have the radio, the Voice of Charity, we have our theater, the Christian theater, and we started our new TV charity, and the kind of mass media that we're trying to leave this idea about we don't have money. We're trying to find something to satisfy what our need, and this is what we're trying to do.
Despite his hard-won successes, he says his funding worries are never far away.
But you know, it's the beginning. We need sometimes to be strong enough to be in the same level with the other TVs. For sure, we need your prayer, and I hope everything is going to be okay with the time.
Father Fadi Tabet of the Voice of Charity Radio in Lebanon. The countdown to 2015 is on. The British Catholic Development Agency, CAFOD, has published a report marking the last 1,000 days until the start of 2015, the deadline for the United Nations to meet the Millennium Development Goals set a decade ago. The report, issued April 6th, outlines the work that needs to be done in these remaining 1,000 days to meet the outstanding goals and agree on a new global plan to replace them. Well, I asked CAFOD's Director of Advocacy, Neil Thorns, why his agency decided to release the report to coincide with Holy Week, and particularly Good Friday.
Well, Good Friday marks 1,000 days till the start of 2015, the year 2015. 2015 is a hugely important year, both because it marks the time when the 8 ambitious goals which the world set itself, the Millennium Development Goals, to end extreme poverty, are meant to be completed. But that also, that year mustn't be an end. It must be a beginning. So we must be thinking about what comes next, what comes after the Millennium Development Goals. If you like, another ambitious global plan which is able to meet the challenges of the next decade.
And how are you proposing that countries can do that?
Well, I think the first thing that we say in our report is that actually the United Nations is well behind schedule. So if you can imagine, we only have 1,000 days to complete or to agree an ambitious global plan. And we know within that what must happen is that we must listen to the voices of people who are faced with poverty every day. They are the ones who are overcoming those situations daily. They know the solutions. So they have to be consulted about this, so their voices are heard, and then it's up to governments and decision makers to take those voices and say, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to fit that into a plan where we can all sign up to, and which starts in 2015, and so there is no gap between when the Millennium Development Goals finish and when this one starts.
Okay, but you're talking about a period of economic downturn, economic crisis. How can countries be realistic about the way they want to approach these last days before 2015?
Well, I think we recognize that some of the solutions to this are not just about financial measures. We know that, for example, some of the ways in terms of dealing with these things don't just require aid, they require changes of policies. And actually, I think there is an issue about how you're going to address poverty. Do you see it as an issue of self-interest, whereas you recognize that if you reduce poverty in the world, that there are increased markets for people so that the world's economy is better? But also there's very much a moral argument here, which says we are all poorer by the fact of people living in poverty, our neighbors living in poverty. So I think countries respect that, and I think they need to recognize the push that they need to make in these last 1,000 days to make real efforts to achieve the Millennium Development Goals.
And what sort of progress have you seen over the past years in the lead-up then to 2015?
Well, I think if you look across how these 8 ambitious goals have been doing, I think there's been some real progress. You've seen, for example, many more children in schools, into primary education. That's been a real success story. I think we have definitely reduced the levels of hunger and poverty in the world. We have reduced the mortality rate of under fives. It's declined significantly from 89 deaths in 1,000 live births in 1990 to, for example, 60 in 2009. So some real achievements have been made. But what we haven't seen is those people living in extreme poverty have tended to not necessarily have their lives changed very much at all. So if you like, what we've done is we've achieved a great deal, but for those living in the most extreme forms of poverty, that's where we need to tackle, that's where we need to target in the next plan.
You say in this report that people living in poverty need to themselves be directly engaged in debating and designing the new post-Millennium Development Goals framework. What do you mean by that?
Well, we would want to see before 2013, when there is a big United Nations summit, we would want people, the voices of those poor people who are confronting poverty daily in their lives, and they are confronting it not in a passive way, but they are coming up with solutions. They know what works for them. We want to hear what they want, the world leaders, their own leaders. We want to hear what they say about what should come in this new framework. We want to know what the solutions they want to propose is, because ultimately it's what's going to be in there will affect their lives more than any of the rest of ours. And so that's why it's really important to hear those voices beforehand and give enough time so that we're able to hear those properly.
Do you think that the 2015 Millennium Development Goals are really a realistic target?
I think when the world set them, they were ambitious. I think the progress that has been made for the Millennium Development Goals has been very impressive and very positive. I don't think we are going to meet all of the Millennium Development Goals. And that's why it's very important to use these 1,000 days to actually say, okay, where are the gaps? What are the lessons learned from the Millennium Development Goals that we can take forward? And how do we take those lessons forward into a new ambitious global plan, which will allow ourselves to tackle those areas where perhaps the Millennium Development Goals missed off? So as I say, perhaps on extreme poverty, I think we haven't seen enough progress on environmental issues. So those are, for example, just two areas where we would want to see much more focus from a new plan.
Countries spend trillions of dollars on killing people, on military equipment. And I mean, it seems scandalous that we allow our countries to devote so much of their resources to doing to killing people or providing weapons to kill people and not putting that money towards development? I mean, are you working on that front as well in any way?
Well, we are certainly working to advocate to governments what we believe are the necessary measures to tackle the issues of poverty worldwide. So, for example, in the United Kingdom, where CAFOD works, we have got a government who are very supportive of committing 0.7% of our national income, which meets the United Nations target for that. So that's a very positive move. I think the other thing, though, that we would say is it's not just about money. So whilst being very sympathetic to the issue that you raise around military expenditure and whether that money would be better spent on development, now, coming from a development perspective, I would obviously say yes to that. But also, it's not just about money. So governments have to change their policies. So, for example, we have to change our policies around how we do our trade. We have to change our policies about how perhaps some of businesses work, and we might want to see some greater transparency and accountability about how global businesses work and making sure that they are being transparent in the way that they do their business in countries and the way that they take the profits from those countries and making sure that the right profits go back into those countries. So it's also about policies, not just about money, because that's ultimately where we will deal with the issues of poverty.
What would you say you hope will come out of this report? And realistically, do you think your hopes will be met?
Well, I think certainly. I think, you know, Good Friday is a day when people reflect. You know, this Holy Week is a time when we all reflect in our lives. And I think if people reflect, as I say, if they look across the world, I think people do feel that we are poorer by having poverty amongst us and amongst our neighbours. And so 1,000 Days is ambitious to get a new global plan in place and ready, but also it's not out of the realms of possibility. And I think that's what we have to work on. We have to urge all of our governments, we have to urge the United Nations to publish and come forward with a plan which is about how we're going to bring that global plan to fruition. And then we all must work very hard to make sure that we bring the voices of the poorest into that and that we urge our governments and decision makers to make the right choices when they are sat around those tables, because it is vital for the lives of millions of people around the world.
CAFOD's Director of Advocacy, Neil Thorns. Well, that brings today's program to a close. I'm Tracy McClure, thanking you for joining me for the last half hour. Tune in again tomorrow at the same time and on this same channel for the next English feature program, or you can hear us at any time of the day or night by clicking on our website. That's vaticanradio.org. Just look for the English service. We'd also love to hear your comments or suggestions, so send us an email. We appreciate snail mail, too. Just send us a note to the English Service at Vatican Radio, Piazza Pia 3, Vatican City, 00120. Again, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.